So nice to have you with us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to switch gears a little bit and talk with you about estuary research reserves. There are 30 of them across the U.S. One is based on Lake Superior, and we're going to be talking about the work they do there. And we have two guests for you today from the Lake Superior National Estuarine Research Reserve. Deanna Erickson is the reserve's director. Deanna, welcome.
Hey, it's really good to see you, Larry. Thanks, and you pronounced it just fine.
Good. Well, let's see how I could do with Luciana. Luciana Ranelli is the education coordinator. Luciana, did I get your name right?
You sure did. Thank you, Larry. Joy to be here.
Well, Luciana and Deanna are both with the UW Extension Natural Resources Institute, and of course, very familiar with the Lake Superior Reserve, obviously. Are you familiar with it as you listen in? What would you like to know about the work that they're doing there? I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Deanna, let's start with you. Some people may wonder what is an estuary and maybe why they're important. So let's talk about that first.
That's a really great place to start. And I think I spend a lot of my time, you know, in the Midwest, we don't have the concept of estuaries just as strong in our language and our thinking as people do on the saltwater coasts. But an estuary really simply is just a river mouth. It's a place where two chemically different bodies of water meet and mix. And so where those two bodies of water for us, it's the St. Louis River and Lake Superior, where they come together, it's an overlap of habitat. It's really protected. It's productive. And they're really important places for people and nature both.
So why is it productive?
Yeah, good question. Okay, so what we've got is this warm, nutrient-rich rivers flowing down off the landscape. You know, for us in the Great Lakes, those rivers are really a source of life and nutrients. And when they're healthy, they are providing a lot of things that the lake needs, you know, to form the bottom of the food web. So they're carrying that down the river. Meanwhile, Lake Superior up here, if anybody's ever gone swimming in there,
yes,
it's cold. So it's really cold. It's harsh, you know, it sinks ships. It's got a reputation. And in the overlap of those two habitats, you know, an animal or a plant that can live out in the lake can probably find a home or at least spawn in the estuary. And the animals and plants that are living up in the river, they're pretty comfortable in the estuary too. So it's this overlap of places, of habitats that really makes them productive.
Here we've got the Lake Superior Reserve, and there are 30 more around the country. Do they work together, or how do you, Deanna?
Yeah, we're pretty good friends. It's an amazing system. You know, you wouldn't think that people who work on estuaries, you wouldn't think they would have commonalities necessarily, but they are dedicated folks working on land and water research, education. We are led by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So through NOAA, we all get together every year. I always say it's like we have a summer camp for grownups.
Well, Luciana, education is a big part of the mission of the reserve. And here you are. You're the coordinator of education for it. So maybe first talk about why it's important.
Yeah, sure. I think we always have a lot to learn from where we are, including the environment and the people within that environment. And so that's really the basis of our education programming, using the place as the way to learn. And then we share out We share out things that we're finding in our like research and monitoring program, and also let people tell us what they're curious about and what they would like to know more about. So the education is about sharing.
And you have something called the Lake Two Rivers Education Program. I think we have a link to that on our program notes for today's show, ideas@WPR.org/Larry, for those who want to take a look at it. But maybe talk a bit more about that education program.
Yeah, and so we call it Rivers to Lake, and it's also about that rivers flow into the lake. So it's a little hidden meaning in that name as a way to remember it. And yes, a lot of our education efforts focus on teachers as learning. And so each year in the teachers as learners. And so each year we have a group of about 9 teachers in the Rivers to Lake program. And we help them use local examples in their teaching and be confident taking their students outdoors to learn.
Yeah.
And it's nice because we work with them throughout the whole school year in all of the seasons. And since the school year just wrapped up, there were some pretty sweet end of the year moments for those teachers and their students.
So what are they going to, what do the kids learn?
They learn what an estuary is, that's for sure. We have this little ditty where we have them repeat after us to learn that an estuary is a place where two kinds of water meet and mix. And we this year had teachers of preschoolers through teachers of third graders. And like next year, we'll even have some high school students and their teachers in the program. So they learn what an estuary is. They learn what it means to like learn and pay attention outdoors. Pay attention, I mean, to directions, but also to observing and what it means to notice and different things you can pay attention to. And it really roots them in where they're living. We had some students in Superior in the program this year, and they could look at a map and like find their school and find our office and Estuary Museum. And then when they were here at the Estuary Museum and looking around outside, they finally realized, oh, I've been here before. So they make a lot of connections.
Oh, man. Deanna, tell us about the land that the reserve is on. Tell us about its history a bit.
Yeah, it's a really amazing place up here. And, you know, Larry, one of the things that underpins our whole program here is just the immensity of Lake Superior, the importance of it. You know, it's the largest surface of fresh water on Earth. And so through everything we do, research, education, stewardship, we're always looking back to that lake. And so the land that's part of the reserve, we as Extension, we don't own that land. It became part of the reserve by a lot of people believing in the vision of what this program could be. So the DNR came on board, the City of Superior, Douglas County, and where all of that is within the 1854 ceded territory of the Fond du Lac Band of Ojibwe. So there is some wild places up here. There's a piece of DNR land called the Red River Breaks. There's almost no trails through it. There's wolves out there. There's really big trees, and wild rivers, lots of birds. Just really some awesome country, but hard to get around in, very steep. And then we have the City of Superior has a municipal forest. It's very big. It's the third largest municipal forest in the country. And it's right along the river. Really awesome pine trees. Amazing ski trails. There's a disc golf course out there. So it's really good as part of the reserve to have ways for people to engage with the land. We support that a lot. And some awesome places to paddle too. There we're on the St. Louis River Estuary National Water Trail. And then probably one of the most important places to me personally is Wisconsin Point, which is a sandbar across the mouth of the river. estuaries have these sandbars that kind of make it the protected place, that make it this big mixing bowl. And that sandbar has just really interesting ecology to it. You know, it's like an Atlantic beach in a lot of ways. You know, the sand, those big rolling sand dunes, and big pine trees, but it's also been important to people forever. So, you know, as folks were traveling through this region, Ojibwe folks and other indigenous people before them, fur trading, all kinds of things, people have come by that sandbar and come in through the natural entry of the estuary where the river goes in to the lake. And so that was a really important village site for a very long time there. So there's a lot of things to really pay attention to in the landscape, from the ecology to the importance of the place to people.
And so does all that work into the education part that you're involved in, Luciana?
Yeah, it sure does. we had some third graders out at Wisconsin Point just last Friday and have had... like I mentioned, our teacher and classroom-based program, but public programs and community events we have too, and we really try to make sure to highlight the people stories as they relate to the ecology and place stories.
Talking today about the Lake Superior Reserve with its director, Deanna Erickson, and Luciana Rinelli, the education coordinator. And we'll invite you to join in, too. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. We're going to take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And our guests will be with us right up until 12:30. So you stay with us. We'll catch the news, find out what else is in store, and then we will be back with our two guests, Deanna and Luciana. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along here today on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. We're talking about the Lake Superior National Estuarine Research Reserve today with our two guests, the director, Deanna Erickson, one of our guests. The other is the education coordinator for the reserve, Luciana Rinelli. And as we talk with them, I hope you'll join in. What questions do they have about the work they're doing? Have you visited the reserve? Comment on it. Love to have you visit with us. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email. The email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Deanna, let's talk a bit about the research that's going on at the reserve. What's the data that's being gathered, and what do you do with the data?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the fundamental things that reserves do is provide long-term monitoring of water quality. And so every reserve in the country has stations in their estuary that are collecting the same kinds of data every 15 minutes. We're a little limited because we have a lot of ice.
Yeah.
So we can't do it all year most of the time. We haven't figured that out yet. But we do have four water quality stations in the estuary where we're monitoring. And that allows us to take the pulse of the river and really understand what's coming down this river and heading out into the lake. So that's one of the components of our, that sort of underpins our research program. We also have, like many other reserves, a site where we're monitoring broadly what we think of as impacts of the changing climate, but are kind of like watching how wetlands change through time. And that's been really interesting as the Great Lakes have had very high water levels over the last few years, down a bit last summer, and then had a lot of rain this spring so far. The system, those wetlands just really change, and they change fast. So we've been able to observe some of that. We're working on understanding how to do real-time monitoring of algae. So real-time means like at the out there right now in the water, and then data is collected, shot to a satellite, shot to a computer in North Carolina, and then we can know what's happening. We also have spent a lot of effort over the years understanding invasive species, looking at, we have a project right now that's both research and communication, looking at plants, particularly plants that are culturally important to people and Ojibwe people, and that can hold the shoreline together a little bit better since we've seen all these changing water levels. And we've also sort of, next to research, we've just launched a stewardship program. So that's helping us kind of respond to the things that we're observing or understanding and helping the land through all of these changes. So that's a little bit research and a little bit like getting stuff done.
Yeah, the stewardship part of it, is this a volunteer kind of thing, or is it, how does that work?
Well, we very much love volunteers, Larry. We have a friends group. They're called the Friends of the Lake Superior Reserve, and they help us organize volunteers. And volunteers do help us with stewardship. Kirsten, our stewardship coordinator, is leading that effort and planning things like, you know, we got emerald ash borer up here, kind of skipped the rest of the state and jumped to Superior. And so we're losing a lot of trees in the estuary right now. And so she's leading a project with Wisconsin Conservation Corps to do some understory planting, planting trees under the trees that are on their way out, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. How many people are involved in that stewardship, by the way?
Well, we hired Kirsten. We feel really happy about that. But in the friends group, you know, we've had quite a few volunteers come and support those efforts over the last couple of years since they got started, and would really love to have some more. So you can search for Friends of the Lake Superior Reserve if anybody out there wants to come give us a hand.
Luciana, I want to come back to you for a minute and talk about the estuarium a bit now. What are visitors actually going to see when they go there?
Yeah, when they come to the estuarium, they will see a space that's an exhibit hall, and the word estuarium is a combination of estuary and museum. So they will see awesome maps of the estuary and the water and land around it to get a sense of where they are. They will see some updates on the research that's happening, like Deanna described, and then the people stories, like I mentioned earlier, of what this place means to people. And volunteers, they will either see a Lake Superior Reserve staff member in there, or they will visit with a volunteer docent. So always looking for more of those too.
So I imagine there's things, well, Deanna, maybe you want to chime in too on this.
Oh, I just wanted to add, one of the things that I think is neat about the estuarium is, you know, I think because we see this place as being so important to our community, there's a lot of people stories in there. You know, research is told through the stories of the people who are doing that work And I think it's really neat and kind of inspiring to see what effort goes in and what dedication goes into taking care of the Lake Superior watershed.
And I imagine, though, the history, because you're on native lands, there must be, I would assume there'd be some history relating to that as well.
Yeah. So we're in the unceded territory. So something that's really, I think of it as a superpower of northern Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota is Ojibwe people retained the rights to hunt, fish, and gather and practice traditional life ways in the land that they ceded through their own advocacy over many years. And that means that we have things like the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, the 1854 Treaty Authority. We have some really amazing First Nation partners that are really dedicated and kind of just add a boost and really thoughtful perspectives to all of the work that takes place in the Lake Superior watershed. And so for us, you know, that means that it becomes very important to restore wild rice and to share stories about wild rice or Manoman the Good Berry, and do that in a good way with our partners. And, you know, we don't ever try to act on behalf of anybody, but we can be helpful. We can be supportive and help continue life ways that people have had here for a very long time through our restoration efforts.
And Luciana, I imagine that becomes part of the education effort when you're working with schools and so forth.
Yeah, definitely. That is part of our mission. And it sounds simple, but it's actually a big deal in that one of the things we can do is make sure we use the present tense verbs when we're talking about the Indigenous peoples of this area, that they are here instead of they were here. And that is one of the through lines of our work there.
Yeah, it sounds important. I would think it'd be very important to keep that front and center. I'm wondering, just a personal question here. I'm wondering about education or your own backgrounds. I have a daughter who's going to be a sophomore this fall in college, and she's majoring in marine biology and also natural resources as well, and she's getting a minor in communications. So, I'm just that seemed to me as I was, oh, that's probably a pretty good combination for potentially working in yours or somebody else's. But I'm wondering about your own backgrounds and how you landed where you are. Luciana, start with you.
I'll start us off here. Yeah, thank you, Larry. And I know Deanna joked if your daughter wants an internship, but it was only probably a partial joke. So reach out. I think a lot of education is about communication. And so I think research paired with that is, incredible. My background leading here includes some biology studies in my undergraduate biology and secondary education. And I pursued getting licensed as a middle school and high school science teacher in Minnesota. And then before I entered the classroom, had some experience with the field of environmental education with more of that active outdoor learning about science and art and stories and how it's just all related. And so then, I've stayed in that lane of that experiential, using the people you're with and the place you're in as a way to learn kind of model for my work. And then I'm glad that I had some of those biology field trips and freshwater ecology in undergrad to help me make sense of our work here right now.
Oh, that's great. Deanna, what about you?
Yeah, well, I wanted to say a lot of folks who work in the reserve system have marine biology backgrounds, and there are some amazing opportunities offered through NOAA fellowship opportunities that are really powerful learning experiences that are accessible, I think, to a lot of people. including the Davidson Fellowship and the Hollings Scholarships. But I'm a pointer. I went to Stevens Point, like a lot of natural resources folks do. And I was always kind of balancing between how much I like talking to people and how much I like learning about animals and plants in the land. And I'm still doing that. And I got a master's in environmental education, actually, because I like talking just a little bit more than I like managing data. But yeah, I've kind of walked back and forth between land management and conservation and education.
So, and I'm not sure we talked about this, but there's a coastal training program has nothing, may not have anything to do with what I just asked you, but tell us about the coastal training program.
Well, so shout out to Karina Heim, who runs the coastal training program. She is a brilliant educator, and she learners have different needs. So the folks Luciana might work with might be different from somebody who's sitting in a city office trying to understand how to adapt our roads or our stormwater system to climate change or help address some of the erosion issues that we might have along the Great Lakes where we like to build and live, you know?
Yeah.
And so Karina's program is really tailored to those professional folks who are just trying to make decisions, the best decisions they can about what to do. So all of our programs kind of emerge out of our research and our understanding and the partnerships we have. And then we kind of take those things to the audiences that need them in a way that works for them. So that's what the Coastal Training Program does. And they have a really neat program they're just launching called, I'm going to get it wrong, but Lake Superior Climate Champions, where they're going to help communities, similar to the way Rivers to Lake does, help communities over the course of a year to address some of those problems that I was talking about in their daily work lives.
Yeah. I'm wondering how... or has the program, has that program influenced maybe the management of the estuary?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, one thing that I know I can say is that this city, Superior, has become increasingly innovative, both at UW-Superior. We are hosted on the UW-Superior campus. We're part of their community, too, and through the city itself, at being very smart at managing the water. You know, we're getting big storms up here, a lot of rain at once, hard for these city systems to hold it. I think the city of Superior is doing a really good job at designing ways to catch water, slow it down, filter out some of the things that might be in it that we don't want to get into Lake Superior. And think about that in the developments that they plan and work on. So I see that program being influential very much in our community.
We got an email from Michael who wonders if water levels in the Great Lakes, are they stable at this point, or can we expect to see big changes down the road? What does it look like?
Oh, man, this is such an... I think this is very interesting. So here's the Great Lakes on their own. They go up for about 7 years, and then they drop, and they go up, and then they drop. But what we've started to see over the last 10 years or so is that the lows are lower, and the highs are more extreme. And this can be... There's so many different causes all at once. It can be a little hard to piece it out, but we've been in the longest high water period that we have record of, you know, over the last 5-6 years. And so that sounds like, well, you know, lakes go up and down. It doesn't sound like too big of a deal, but we build things close to the shore based on what we know about the past. And so when the future looks a little bit different, we can find ourselves sort of caught unawares. You know, we have a a photo monitoring project we started a couple years ago to just take pictures of what high water levels look like so we can remember when it's low, you know?
Yeah. And I, you know, you may know that this is not my first year hosting this radio show. I've been hosting it for a long time. And as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, over time, you know, there'd be like a time would go when the water was high. And then suddenly we're talking about people can't get their, you know, the piers. There's no water under any piers because the water's so low. And then we're back up high again. So that certainly has been something that's happened over my career that we've talked about pretty much every single time that it has come up. But as you were talking, this is kind of, I mean, this is obviously concerning, the fact that the water levels are higher, longer than they've been in the past, and what that might mean for planning or for what we need to do to protect our land and everything else.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, they really are doing a lot of work to help look to the future. So, you know, so that we can future cast a little bit and try to make decisions based on what we expect versus what we've seen in the past, you know, since the future probably won't look the same.
Yeah. Someone else wondered about the how you actually do the water quality monitoring. You mentioned that. What's the process, Luciana?
Yeah, well, there are, like, we call them underwater computers, but their official name is a sonde, S-O-N-D-E, with all these different sensors on them. And so they're underwater in these like metal boxes that keep them secure. And there's in four different stations throughout the estuary. And that information gets beamed up to satellites and then beamed back down to us. And there's a lot of data points in there, given that it collects data on 7 different parameters. I think if I have that number right, every 15 minutes for 10 years in 4 spots. So Hannah, the monitoring coordinator, has a lot of information to look at to find patterns.
I would think so if it's every 15 minutes. So the water flows through the box that collected? Is that how it works?
Well, they're just underwater. So yeah. They just touch the water. Next time you'll have to have Hannah on here.
Get her involved too.
And have a hole in it. That's how it works. You got it.
Oh, man. So I forgot to ask you, there's some events that are coming up, and you may have mentioned them. I've forgotten now. But what are the events that are coming up, Luciana?
Yes, people can definitely visit us. We celebrate Lake Superior Day the third Sunday in July. So we have a big party to celebrate the largest surface of fresh water on Earth, down here at the Lake Superior Estuarium on Barker's Island in Superior. So people should look for that and come visit us. And then we talked earlier about the Lake Superior Estuarium in our museum, and that is open to the public, people who live here and visitors, on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Well, darn it, I was here. I was in Bayfield last Friday, and I didn't get, I wish now that I had taken some time with my daughter, who was with me as well, to come over and see you. So I'm going to have to grab Emily sometime and drive up and take a look at a closer look, because it really sounds like a wonderful place. What's the website again for people want to go and take a look?
Yeah, it's Lake Superior, NERR.org. And Larry, I have one thing I want to sneak in real quick.
Okay.
Is that we're going to have a, knock wood, we're going to have another National Estuarine Research Reserve probably over at the Bay of Green Bay in the next few years. So stay tuned.
Ooh, that's something to look forward to as well. Well, this has been great fun. Deanna Luciana, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a dream come true. Thanks, Larry.
Yes, thank you.
We'll do it again. We'll do it again. And by the way, thank you for listening. If you've been listening through the show, it's been a lot of fun for me. Tomorrow we talk home improvement with John Freiberger. But in the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.